Perhaps what ancient Shir Gua's inhabitants meant by the word lion was in fact the wolf or hyena. That's because those two species have lived in this region for hundreds of years. But what has brought me to this area of Baluchistan wasn't the lion or the boar. I've come here to see the Asian crocodile. Parlance, the rare species of crocodile is called the Gondo. They live somewhere between River Sarbaz, Bahu Kalat, and Shir Gua's. The river is the biggest natural stream of water in Baluchistan. It is known by different names by the locals living in villages located along its 300-kilometer course. Monikers such as Sarbaz, Bahu Kalat, and Shir Gua's. My team and I have to walk a long distance to see one of those short-nosed crocodiles. But these gorgeous, thick-skinned aquatic reptiles in Iran are said to be very shy animals, making it difficult for us to find one. What that means is you can't get too close to these amphibians and admire their beauty at close range. We have been going about gunning for a crocodile for a couple of hours now, but we haven't been able to see even one just yet. As I say, they are very shy animals. The locals tell me I'd be lucky to see one, though they also say if you wait long enough, you'll definitely be able to see at least one. Guy is around 3 meters long. The people in this area call them the Gondo. Who would have thought that you could see Gondos, the short-nosed Asian crocodiles, in a river in Iran's Sistan and Baluchistan province? At their biggest, these majestic reptiles are 3.5 meters long. The primary habitats of the short-nosed Asian crocodile are in Iran, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Myanmar. The people of Shir Gua's tell me the best place to see the Gondos is the Shir Gua's Dam, a barrier built across the Shir Gua's River to impound its water. The number of crocodiles living in Iran has been estimated at between 300 and 400. The good news is the people of Sistan and Baluchistan do not do anything to endanger the survival of these adorable reptiles. The bond between them is unshakable. In general, the Baluch are kind, nature-loving human beings, traits that are rooted in these noble people's culture and creed. The love of nature and of animals is part of the life and culture of the Baluch people. Animals are part of the family, among them wild animals. Probably if this were another city or country, many people would try and, man, this guy is strong. I bet if I let him go, he's definitely gonna break my bones or break my camera into pieces. As I was saying, if this mountain goat were anywhere other than here, without a doubt some heartless poacher would have gunned it down by now. But the people here love animals dearly. The Gondos that we saw earlier, they're conserving them so well. Also this wild goat, that's very close to the hearts of the people here. You can see many peacocks, partridges, and pheasants in the households here in Shir Gua's, and also in other villages elsewhere in Baluchistan. The Shirguaz River flows past Bahu Kalad village, providing the hardworking community here with water for their farms, fruit groves, and animals. Perhaps there are many people in Iran who are unaware that the fruits grown in Baluchistan can only be farmed in tropical climates. But that's exactly what's happening in this province. All of the Iranian banana produce comes from this region. Bahu Kalad is also among the important producers of watermelons in Iran. The cold season is when the watermelons grown here are harvested and distributed across the country. I've just stepped into a fruit grove in Bahu Kalad. In my opinion, this is a veritable piece of heaven. Here, you can see several different species of fruits right next to each other. Something you may not be able to see anywhere else in Iran. Fruits such as bananas, dates, mangoes, papaya, all kinds of citrus fruits. I've also been told that even coffee is farmed in some of the gardens here. It's just wonderful. I mean, you could go so far as calling this place Little India, located in southwestern Iran.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah.
Leadership from the perspective of Imam Khomeini. Wilaya, or leadership of the jurist, is against dictatorship. A jurist will never be despotic. A jurist with such characteristics is just. This kind of justice differs from the social justice. Jurist justice is so that if he lies just once or if he has only a single look at a non-mahram, he will be no longer considered as such. Such a person cannot and does not act against the law.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. And I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah alayh. And today we have another saying of Imam Khomeini, which is in regards to the religion of Islam. Imam has said that Islam has come to train mankind. The issue in the program of Islam is man and his training. Now, we can see that according to the saying of Imam Khomeini, it is very much clear because the teachings of Quran are also referring to the same saying. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is talking about the mankind. Allah in many times in the Quran has said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. Or sometimes he said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers. And sometimes he uses the word, Ya ayyuhal mushrikun. For example, he's talking to the polytheist, to the kafirun, the disbelievers, to the hypocrites, to the believers, to the Muslims, and many times he has talked to the mankind. When he's talking to the mankind, he's talking to them in order to teach them the right path, in order to train them. And that's why he has sent the prophets. All the prophets who came, they all were assigned to the mankind.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
For example, at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he announced being the prophet, he announced his prophecy amongst the people. He was prophet, but he announced that he is the prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at age of 40. Now, before 40, he was serving the humanity. He was training people. He was being known as the most truthful and the most trustworthy person amongst the Arabs. Even they said, like, if you just tell us that there is a caravan coming behind this mountain, we will believe you, even if there is no caravan. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his duty was to train people, to take them towards the purification, to purify mankind. And that's why he himself was the most pure person. He was the purest person on the earth. And that's why he was known as the most truthful and most trustworthy person on the earth at his time. And that's what Islam is calling us all towards. Imam Khomeini, that's why he said, like, Islam has come to train mankind. It has come to train, to take them towards the perfection. And if you want perfection, if you want a good society, if you want justice, you need to follow Islam, the pure Muhammadan Islam, insha'Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-a'in rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. The month of Rajab is the month of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. There are so many events related to them. We celebrated the birth anniversary of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. I would like to take this opportunity to present to you a sermon, which is sermon number 239 of the Nahj al-Balagha, in which Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about the Ahlul Bayt. And I'm adding some of the explanation from the commentary of Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi. Interestingly, there are 12 qualities that the Imam has mentioned about the Ahlul Bayt in this sermon. The first one, he says, هُمْ عَيْشُ الْعِلْمُ وَمَوْتُ الْجَهْلِ. They are life for knowledge and death for ignorance. This shows the relationship of Ahlul Bayt to knowledge and ignorance. They are the life, the soul of knowledge, and they are the cause of death of ignorance. After all, the Prophet himself said, "Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha," that I am the city of knowledge and Ali is the gateway to that city. And so if you are a true follower of Ali ibn Abi Talib, as we call ourselves the Shia of Ali, then we should be among those who always, you know, love to increase their knowledge and shade away the darkness of ignorance. Then he talks about, you know, three more qualities, but he says, يُخْبِرُكُمْ حِلْمُهُمْ عَنْ عِلْمِهِ وَظَاهِرُهُمْ عَنْ بَاطِنِهِمْ وَصَمْتُهُمْ عَنْ حِكَمِ مَنْتِقِهِمْ. He says, their forbearance tells you of their knowledge, and their appearance reflects their inner goodness, and their silence speaks of their wisdom. This is where we have to realize that sometimes, you know, if wise people are silent, it doesn't mean they don't know, or they don't have the ability to respond in the kind manner as other unwise people when they talk against them. Sometimes the silence of the wise people is itself very loud. Then he talks about two more qualities where he says, لَا يُخَالِفُونَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ. Ahlul Bayt are those that who do not go against the truth, nor do they differ among themselves about it. We have to realize when we look at the ayat of Quran, ayat of Tathir, and the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, we come to realize that with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Ahlul Bayt in form of infallibility and wisdom and knowledge, they will neither oppose the truth nor differ amongst themselves about it. Remember, the Prophet actually has mentioned more than once when he talks about Ali, he says, Aliyun ma'al haqq wal haqq ma'aliyin. Ali is with the truth and the truth is with Ali. He doesn't only stop there. There are different versions for the latter sentence. This one says, وَالْحَقُّ يَدُورُ حَيْسُ مَا دَارَ عَلِي, that the truth turns in whatever direction Ali turns. And so they become, Ahlul Bayt become the embodiment of truth. Wherever they are, the truth will be with them. Two more qualities there where he says, وَهُمْ دَعَائِمُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَوَلَائِجُ الْإِعْتِصَامِ, that the Ahlul Bayt are the pillars of Islam and the asylum of protection for the Ummah. What it means that, in a symbolic way, if Islam is a house, Ahlul Bayt are its foundation. If Islam is a tent, then they are the central pole on which that tent actually stands. And so if you remove them, you actually have removed the soul of Islam. And that is the tragedy of the Muslim world at the moment, in spite of the number, in spite of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively has given to the Muslims, you look at their situation. The disgrace that you see is because they have moved themselves away from Ahlul Bayt, as advised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam themselves. Then we come to two more qualities that Ali talks about. بِهِمْ عَادَ الْحَقُّ إِلَىٰ نِصَابِهِ وَانْزَاحَ الْبَاطِلُ عَنْ مَقَامِهِ وَانْقَطَعَ لِسَانُهُ عَنْ مَنْبَتِهِ. With them, the right has returned to its position, and the wrong has left its place, and its tongue is severed from its root. This statement of Ali actually reflects the timing of this khutbah, this sermon. This is a sermon that Ali gave after the Muslims insisted upon Imam Ali to become their Khalifa and leader. With Ali, justice prevailed and injustice was defeated. Although some companions who were used to the unfair privileges given to them by the past administrations, they rebelled against him. But the standards that Ali re-established after the Prophet are still looked upon as measures of right and wrong and truth and falsehood, even now. Then we come to the last description of the Ahlul Bayt in the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, where he says, أَقَلُ الدِّينَ أَقْلَ وِعَاءٍ وَرِعَايَةٍ لَا أَقْلَ سَمَاعٍ وَرِبَايَةٍ فَإِنَّ رُوَاتُ الْعِلْمِ كَثِيرٌ وَرُعَاتُهُ قَلِيلٌ. He says, Ahlul Bayt are those who understood the religion attentively and carefully, not by mere hearsay and from narrators, because the narrators of knowledge are many, but those who understand it are few. And this is where we come to realize that the Muslim world, in spite of all the differences where we have in theology and jurisprudence, when it comes to the status of Ali and Ali about knowledge and ilm, nobody can compete with them. Ali is the first of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, and he was taught directly by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no any other teacher for Ali but Rasulullah. They have not only read the Quran and heard the Sunnah and the sayings of the Prophet, they have fully understood them and imbibed them to the extent that Ahlul Bayt in reality are the embodiment of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And that is why we hear sometimes the words and descriptions that the Quran, the book is Quran, As-Samit is the speaking Quran, and the Imam is Al-Quran Al-Natiq, the speaking Quran. And that is why the Prophet said in the khutbah more than once, where he says, I am leaving two precious things behind. Inni tarikum fikum saqalain. The first one, Kitabullah, and the book of Allah, the Quran. And the second, Itrati Ahlu Bayti, my family, my descendants. As long as you hold on to them both, you will never go astray. And so if you follow the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet says you will never go astray. And these are the qualities described about the Ahlul Bayt in the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom to hold on to the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt and be loyal to their teachings in our daily life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all under His protection and hasten the appearance of the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin. وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل
عليه. In the limelight.
The World Trade Organization, WTO, a global regulatory body that contains 164 members and observers, including the United States of America, has blocked a proposal put forth by India and South Africa to grant a waiver to patent protections that are preventing poorer countries from accessing COVID-19 vaccines, says Sam Knight, a reporter, in an article published under the heading Biden's trade representative nominee backs policies that hinder global vaccine distribution. Stay tuned for the details, please. Catherine Tai, President Joe Biden's nominee to serve as the next top U.S. trade negotiator, acknowledged during her confirmation hearing that trade policy over the past few decades benefited corporate interests at the expense of workers and the environment. But Tai declined to commit to making the U.S. Trade Representative's office more accountable to lawmakers and the public. Tai did not respond directly to questions about transparency asked by Democratic members of the Senate Finance Committee. Senator Bob Menendez pressed Tai to support legislation that he co-sponsored, which could create an inspector general serving as an official watchdog for the USTR. Senator Elizabeth Warren asked Tai about the possibility of the USTR releasing draft trade negotiations at least 2 months before Congress is asked to fast-track it so that lawmakers have the opportunity to propose amendments. Under current rules, which were signed into law in 2015 by then-President Barack Obama, Congress doesn't receive the text of trade deals until after relinquishing its treaty negotiating authority to the White House, the so-called fast-track process that Senator Warren referenced in her question. The law that established the current regime is set to expire on July 1st. In response to both lawmakers, Tai hailed the principles behind their inquiries, but did not directly comment on their either proposal. Warren was disappointed. "I very much appreciate that you want to engage with the American people on this, but what I'm really looking for here is a hard commitment," Warren said, in the most contentious moment of the confirmation. "To me, this is another place where the administration needs to take a hard line. Trade negotiations must be open and transparent to the public," she added. Nevertheless, left-leaning Democrats were pleased by her recognition of long-standing progressive critiques of trade liberalization, the practice of eliminating laws that hinder international commerce, even if those laws were crafted to bolster protections for workers, consumers, and ecosystems. For example, while Tai praised the motives behind the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, just like President Biden has done, should distance herself from efforts to rejoin the agreement. The PPP was widely criticized by labor unions and environmental groups for undermining economic regulations and was opposed by both major presidential candidates during 2016 election. In 2017, then-President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the TPP during his first days in office. "A lot has changed in the world in past 5 or 6 years, and a lot has changed in our own awareness about some of the pitfalls of trade policies that we've pursued as we've pursued them over the most recent years," Tai remarked in response to a question urging the Biden administration to rejoin the PPP from Senator Steve Daines. Tai also noted more broadly that U.S. trade policy in recent decades has primarily served to make winners out of corporate executives and shareholders and losers out of everyone else. "I think that for a very long time, our trade policies were based on an assumption that the more we traded with each other and more liberalized our trade became, the more peace and prosperity there would be," she said. "I think what we see in the parlance of some of the economists who have been thinking about this, over time the trends we see are a race to the bottom. With increased economic activity and trade activity, we aren't necessarily seeing that bring up standards with respect to workers and environmental protection," Tai added. She said, "I think this prompts us to really have this reinform us rethink of our strategic trade policies and figure out how trade policy can be conducted in a way that truly does lift all boats." Thai also touted recent efforts to reverse this trend in response to a question from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse about investor state dispute settlement panels. ISDS are courts established by free trade agreements in which only investors can file litigation against governments for erecting barriers to the trade. White House lamented the existence of such panels, which are part of most trade deals that the U.S. has signed, by noting how Philip Morris bullied Togo out of passing a law that would have added images to cigarette warning labels. The tobacco giant achieved this in 2013 in part by invoking the threat of ISDS action in trade agreements signed by a small West African nation. Additionally, however, Thai said she would defend corporate interest by looking into establishing new mechanisms to defend intellectual property, patent protections for various brands and products, including vital medicines. Intellectual property rights have gained new importance during the global COVID-19 pandemic. The World Trade Organization, WTO, a global regulatory body that contains 164 members and observers, including the United States of America, has blocked a proposal put forth by India and South Africa to grant a waiver to patent protections that are preventing poorer countries from accessing COVID-19 vaccines. The Trump administration led a very small group of WTO members in blocking this important public health initiative, explained Public Citizen Trade Expert Lori Wallach in a virtual press conference held recently. WTO rule changes are typically only approved by unanimous consent. Joining the U.S. in blocking patent waivers on COVID-19 vaccines were representatives of other wealthy countries, including Great Britain, the European Union, Norway, Switzerland, Japan, Canada, and Australia. Unfortunately, in the first two meetings of WTO committees since the Biden administration arrived, the U.S. position has not changed, Wallach noted. Ultimately, Thai was hailed by lawmakers on both sides of the aisle and looks set to sail through the confirmation process.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be looking at a very important problem and a very important question, and that question is this. A lot of the Islamic sects are of the opinion that the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were completely just in the sense that they were inerrant, they never sinned, and for this reason they should be respected absolutely. Of course, we are of the opinion that while the companions of the Prophet should be respected, it's true, simply because they were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is in and of itself is a virtue, it's something that God blessed them with, and it's commendable. However, we can't accept the fact that and the idea that all of the companions were inerrant and they never sin. This is something which is contradicted by not only by history, but by the verses of the Holy Quran. When we examine the verses of the Holy Quran, we see that the Holy Quran describes the companions of the Holy Prophet in different terms. It praises some of them. It scolds some others. For example, it praises the companions of the Prophet who were the first to come and believe in him. It praises those who paid allegiance to him under the tree, which is known as the allegiance of Rizwan. It praises those who migrated and helped the Prophet. However, there are also other groups of companions which the Quran reprimands and scolds. For example, there are a group of companions, people who were surrounding the Prophet, lived amongst him, saw him, which the Quran describes as being hypocrites or munafiqeen. For example, this group has been mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, such as Surah Baqarah, Surah Al Imran, Surah Maidah, Surah Tawbah, Ahzab, Surah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other surahs. There is even a surah which you are well aware of, which is entitled by the name of Surah Munafiqeen. Another group of companions have been described as those who doubted in the Holy Prophet. For example, in Surah Tawbah, verse 45 and to 47, we see that this group has been referred to. There are also other verses of the Holy Quran which reprimand these companions of the Prophet in other ways. So if the companions of the Holy Prophet were completely inerrant and were infallible and weren't capable of sinning, then these verses would be meaningless. This shows us that it's unacceptable to say that these companions of the Holy Prophet were completely inerrant. Rather, we should say that they were susceptible to error. They should be respected if in the cases where they didn't sin. Otherwise, they should not be. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Aga, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is
For a Better Life.
For a Better Life.
Farmud Bu'istu Lu'utammim Makarim Al-Akhlaq.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, we send our peace and blessings upon all the prophets of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially the last of them, Muhammadul Mustafa and his progeny, and those companions who follow their path. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, and welcome to another program of For a Better Life, here on IRIB English Radio. We were talking about mental diseases, mental anxiety, which visibly affects all the tasks one performs. We really care for our happiness. We will discover it in plain and peaceful lives, because that which is of basic significance in life is the present, and the future, which appears to be a heaven in some of our eyes, would assume the appearance of a frightful hell as soon as you reach it. One who is tired and fed up with his life and awaits a better days, awaits better days and a better future that lie beyond that dark and uncertain horizon, must wake up from the slumber of ignorance and seek his lost ideal in these wearisome days of today, not in an imaginary and unknown future. With that said, dear brothers and sisters, I do not mean that we should think negatively about the future in no means, in no ways. The future should be bright. You should think brightly about your future. You should think positively about your future. But you should not think that this imaginary future of yours would be brighter than today. Make your life bright today. Make your life happy today. The obstacles that we see in the way of realization of these goals may be the product of our own thinking. And our success and triumphs may lie hidden in the present itself. If the seed of today should remain unsown, tomorrow will not yield its fruit. Life cannot be lived twice so that one may make amends for his earlier mistakes. As Imam Ali alayhi salam said, the past is in the past and the future has not yet arrived. Thus, think about the present. Concentrate about the present. But as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, "Ad-dunya mazra'a," the world is a field, and as you sow, you will reap in the future, in akhirah, in the hereafter. So if you do not sow the good seeds in the land and the field today, do not expect to have good yields tomorrow. A wise human being derives the maximum benefit from the passing moments of life, which pass quietly and soundlessly like raindrops falling into the dark ocean of extinction and annihilation. As soon as you realize it, you have become old and wrinkled. And you have reached the end of your life. Will you at that moment, dear brothers and sisters, despair? Would you at that moment regret your life and the things you could have done better? Please do not do that. Please change your life today. Go after your goals. Go after your dreams.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. Gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we'd paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact, our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact, our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Do not make your thoughts be stuck in one way of thinking. If you do not like your career, try to change it. If you do not like the land and the country or the city you live in, change it. Make those changes, but have your intellect and reason with it. Do not let your emotions control you. Let your reason and intellect control you. And make those decisions now, before it is too late. A wise human being derives the maximum benefit from the passing moments of life, which pass quietly and soundlessly. He or she does not let them go in vain. As a result, with each day, our situation improves. The horizon of our life becomes more radiant, and our soul becomes vaster. We remain steady and unmoved, like the center in a wheel in the face of accidents and unpleasant events. Should the wave of a calamity pass over our heads, we are not swept off our feet. We draw benefits from pleasant events and take lessons from undesirable incidents. We do not expect the world to change in order that events happen according to our wishes. Finally, we spend the hours of our lives in such a way that at the end of the day, we do not have any regrets or remorse. If someone would ask you at the end of your life, would you regret something? Is there anything that you would regret? I really wish and hope from the bottom of my heart that I, Sayyid Wahid, and you, dear brothers and sisters, would say no. I live the happiest of lives and I do not regret anything. And better than that, I would not try to change anything. So the ultimate goal will be not to have any regrets or remorse. And when you have that as the ultimate goal in a vertical line among other goals, may it be career goals, financial goals, spiritual and physical goals, all of that should be under the umbrella of no regrets, no remorse. There are some others who care neither for the present nor the future. The today does not interest them and they expect nothing from the future. Rather, they live in constant agitation due to the regret of having lost the opportunities offered by the past and which now lie buried in the graveyard of non-existence. These people, instead of pursuing their way with earnestness and going towards the goals of their life, they always look behind themselves, look at the past like someone who is lost in a vast desert. They keep reviewing and reviewing the errors that they have done, the happenings of the past, and waste their lives. What is surprising is that while these people, these dear brothers and sisters, let the present slip, they regret for the moments of the past. There is no doubt that reflecting over the mistakes and unhappy episodes of the past and burning oneself, beating up oneself in the flames of sorrow and regret does not do any good. Moreover, it exhausts your energy. It exhausts the soul and lets one's vital powers go waste so that one remains no longer capable of choosing the right course in life in conformity with his or her interest. You feel a kind of depression. You feel anxiety. You can even feel traumas, psychological traumas. What we have said concerning giving attention to the present does not mean that one should do something today without paying attention to its evil consequences in the future. What we mean is that one should let one's peace of mind be... One should not let one's peace of mind be disturbed by regret for the past and fear regarding the future. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your mercy, your love is all I need.
Is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
Oh, 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 oh.
Your love is all I need. To be all
I need.
And I know that you see how much you need. You mean to me, 'cause your love is all I need. To be all I can be, and I know that you see how much you mean to me.
Your love is all I need.
In the limelight.
No one should be above international law, especially when crimes against humanity are at stake. The urgent need for justice is long overdue, says Brett Wilkins, author, in an article published under the heading Reporters Without Borders Files Unprecedented Suit Against Saudis for Khashoggi Murder and Other Crimes Against Humanity. Stay tuned for more. The international advocacy group Reporters Without Borders recently filed what it called a groundbreaking lawsuit in Germany against Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, accusing the heir to the Saudi throne of crimes against humanity in the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi and widespread and systematic abuse of journalists in their repressive kingdom. The group, known by its French acronym RSF, filed the criminal complaint, which is more than 500 pages long, with the German Public Prosecutor General of the Federal Court of Justice in Karlsruhe. The suit involves the cases of 35 Saudi journalists, including murdered Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. According to RSF, a crime against humanity is a widespread and systematic attack committed by individuals in full knowledge of this attack against a civilian population. In Saudi Arabia, journalists who are a civilian population, according to international law, are victims of widespread and systematic attacks for political reasons in furtherance of a state policy aimed at punishing or silencing them. The five suspects identified in the complaint are fully responsible. Pursuant to the German Code of Crimes Against International Law, the complaint shows that these journalists are the victims of multiple counts of crimes against humanity, including willful killing, torture, sexual violence or coercion, enforced disappearance, unlawful deprivation of physical liberty, and persecution. The 35 cases detailed in the complaint reveal a system that threatens the life and liberty of any journalist in Saudi Arabia, in particular those who speak out publicly against the Saudi government. For RSF, the essential role of journalists to inform the public on issues of general interest, to monitor the actions of the authorities, and to hold them accountable makes crimes against them all the more grave and warranting investigation. The complaint identifies five primary suspects: Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia Mohammed bin Salman, his close advisor Saud al-Ghahtani, and three other high-ranking Saudi officials for their organizational or executive responsibility in Khashoggi's killing, as well as their involvement in developing a state policy to attack and silence journalists. These primary suspects are named without prejudice to any other individual the investigation might identify as responsible for these crimes against humanity. The RSF suit was filed days after the administration of Joe Biden declassified a U.S. intelligence report concluding that the Saudi prince approved Khashoggi's 2018 assassination. Biden came under fire from human rights advocates after deciding not to punish the Saudi regime over the matter, which critics warning impunity would embolden bin Salman. Those responsible for the persecution of journalists in Saudi Arabia, including the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, must be held accountable for their crimes, said Christopher Delor, RSF Secretary General. While these serious crimes against journalists continue unabated, we call on the German prosecutor to take a stand and open an investigation into the crimes we have revealed. No one should be above international law, especially when crimes against humanity are at stake. The urgent need for justice is long overdue. Biden has declined to punish Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for ordering the murder of Jamal Khashoggi because he wants to reset his relationship with Saudi Arabia, the Washington Post reported, citing U.S. officials. In the 2020 election campaign, Biden talked tough about holding Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman accountable for the murder and broader human rights abuses, saying he would make the kingdom a pariah. The Crown Prince is also known by his initials MBS. However, his administration has declined to sanction the Crown Prince over the murder. The Treasury Department announced sanctions against Saudi officials recently, but none of them targeted Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The State Department also imposed visa restrictions known as the Khashoggi ban on 76 Saudis connected to the killing, but did not release their names. Historically, and even in recent history, there have not been sanctions put in place for the leaders of foreign governments where we have diplomatic relations, Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, told recently on CNN. But according to a U.S. official who spoke with the Washington Post, the decision was made to avoid future flare-ups with the Crown Prince and for the Saudi-U.S. relationship to start afresh. But for many critics, the Biden administration's restrictions have been underwhelming, and the presence in action has been criticized by the Crown Prince opponents.